Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, part of the Once Upon a Podcast Network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for tuning in for over 250 episodes. And one of the recurring themes throughout Excelsior Journeys is that I love to hear from people that not only really make a point to establish themselves, but also to lay the groundwork for other people that need that additional those additional resources. And when I heard about Georgia Linninger and how she has not only gotten experience as a children's book author with three books currently out there right now, with a fourth one on the way, but then she is also the founder of Salus Publishing LLC, which is not only providing some great opportunities for many different authors, but the fact that they really dedicate themselves to getting everything out there on 100% recycled paper, really doing their part to be fully aware of wanting to not only get as much as possible out there, but also to have as little of a carbon footprint as out there as possible. And then finding out that Georgia has experience of 18 years working as a teacher. So she not only is preparing, getting students ready to learn how to read with her own books, but then she's also working with students as well and preparing the latest, hopefully the next generation of authors that can find a place at Salus Publishing. So it's a really wonderful setup that Georgia has right now. And it really has me excited to talk to her about her history and about the future of Salus Publishing itself. So it is my pleasure to introduce to you Georgia Linninger. Georgia, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited. It's great to be here.
And thank you so much for reaching out. This is yet another success story from Podmatch. I am so grateful once again to Podmatch for providing the opportunity for potential guests to reach out to hosts and connect with them in a way that they would not have otherwise. So even though I've never been paid a cent by Podmatch.com, I will continue to promote their services to this day.
They are wonderful. I've been a member for 2 months now and very happy with it. So yeah.
Excellent. So you've gotten more than just this show. You've gotten other
guests. Yes, quite a few. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I love to hear that. I really do. And I love to hear what you are preparing for right now, because Salus Publishing has a very exciting release coming out this month. Can you tell us about that?
We do. So in April, we are releasing our first book of poetry. It's young adult poetry by a brand new author named Noelle Baggins. She is the co-owner of Wild Sisters Bookshop in Sacramento, California.
Oh, wow.
And that's how we met, was through book events for my other authors like Andy Domick and Marva Diaz. And it was at their bookshop, and I was talking with Noelle one day, and she was so sweet and so wonderful. And she kind of brought up kind of the courage of like, well, I've written some poetry. Would you maybe want to read it sometime? I was like, well,
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. And so I love that. I love when people do that, when they just kind of reach out and like, hey, I've written this thing. What do you think? And so, and a lot of times, most of the time, it's I'll read stuff and I'll kind of like say, oh, this is fantastic. Maybe work on this. Hey, this isn't a genre that my house usually covers, but there are these resources over here you can use. But with Noelle, it was, her poetry is just phenomenal, and it's raw and just so authentic. And it's kind of that first love and unrequited love and picking yourself back up afterwards. And it's called Best Supporting Actress. And
oh, I love it.
Yeah. And it's got art by this phenomenal guy named Jefferson Miller. Mm-hmm. And he does this kind of like old 1950s style kind of Hollywood art. And it's just everything about it, just the way that the two collaborated and the way that they brought everything together is just, we are so excited. So our release is on the 16th. Mm-hmm. And then we're having some events like at local wineries and things like that. And so we're going to get her to do some like videos for our website and everything. So yeah, we're excited.
Oh, that's great. I can't stop smiling. That's so cool. Now Jefferson, was he someone that she had a connection with and brought him in?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Because I'd kind of asked her, because it's just with children's literature, right? When you kind of get the feel in the age range, and sometimes that can kind of impact like where you think the art might go. Mm-hmm. With poetry, on the other hand, and some of hers is just the emotions are so kind of universal. I think that so many of us have felt. And so the art could have gone so many different ways. And so mm-hmm. I had asked her kind of what art inspires you, like what, just to kind of get a feel of the vibe, like where we might want to go with this. And at first I'd thought about showing a variety of local authors in the South Atlanta area, because there are quite a few, and just maybe kind of lining them up with different poems or stuff like that. And for her, it was Miller. He was the one. It was just, I think he had done some work from their bookshop as they were opening up, and she just loved his stuff. It really resonated with her. And so she showed me some of his portfolio and we met, and he was fantastic. And yeah, so it just kind of came together. And then of course, as like with books, our graphic and layout designer is a name. Her name is Jo Gershman. She's mm-hmm. just absolutely phenomenal. And so she really brought Jefferson's art and Noel's poetry, and really just the way she formatted. And it's just, it's elegant and it's simple and it's phenomenal. I'm so proud of this book.
That sounds great. And I love the enthusiasm that you have for this too. It's not just the latest book in your publishing house.
Like this
This is a real milestone, because, I hope that there are a lot of listeners that are out there that are just as anxious to really kind of get their own work out there. Cause I know a fair share of poets, and they have, when it comes to getting your poetry out there, it's such a personal venture. Yeah. So it works perfectly that she was able to work with that artist to really come up with something. Now, have you heard her perform any of her own poetry before you brought her in?
No, nope, never. And I've had two experiences like this where Noelle had written this poetry. Originally, she showed me over 80 poems that mm-hmm. she had written, and it was all things that she had really were very personal. Maybe she'd shown to like one or two other people, that's about it. And mm-hmm. then just kind of kept to herself. And mm-hmm. I really encouraged her as she showed it to me. And we kind of thinking like, this can really be something. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of pared it down to, I would say, about the strongest, like 42 poems, I believe, are in there. Mm-hmm. We kind of went through the process of turning them into like an overarching arc, right? Mm. Of a storytelling. Yeah. And so of course each poem is a standalone, but then as you see the progress from kind of where she starts in the beginning and to kind of where she ends up in the end with her final poem, which is called Best Supporting Actress, I think it just kind of flows. It kind of, like I say, each poem stands alone. Each one, you get kind of such a remarkable sense of this person who is emerging, as so many young adults do, right? And they're trying to figure themselves out and all that. And I don't know, it's just, but the way it flows together and just her sense of hope and confidence and determination in the end, I find remarkable. So
it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, but that's actually my second experience with an author who had basically hidden their work. Our other book that just came out in January is called The Two Tales of Timothy Mouse, by mm-hmm. a man named Cy Swan. And this is kind of remarkable. So Cy Swan is a man who is 88 years old, and is his first book.
And that's great.
So for Cy is this incredible, incredible man. Cy's remarkable. He is a blacksmith. He has a forge. He lives on his own ranch in Central Oregon with his wife, and they have family nearby. Cy's been a rancher. He's been a mechanic. He's a veteran. He's done all sorts of things. And he is most commonly known and seen on the YouTube channel Essential Craftsman. Mm-hmm. And it's phenomenal. It's got over like a million followers. It's pretty great. And Sai is featured on there for his forge and his anvils. Like, he has anvils from like the 1800s, and he makes knives and all sorts of stuff. And he knows the history of his anvils, like when they come from, you know, from Europe and World War II and the Civil War and all. I mean, it's remarkable. So the long story short, my husband had seen these videos on Essential Craftsman. And he thought Sai was phenomenal because, of course, mm-hmm. Sai makes his own cannons where he will fire cannonballs, or not cannonballs, excuse me, bowling balls.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. He just, I highly recommend Essential Craftsmen. They're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my husband had talked to me about these knives, like, and how, like, they're just beautiful and they're handmade in the forge and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. his birthday was coming up. And so I was like, okay. So I looked up the website, I call Sai up, and we start talking, and I explain what I would like for my husband for his birthday. And he's so wonderful to talk with. And so I mentioned that I am a book publisher. He's like, oh, well, I wrote a book maybe 40 years ago. I showed it to a couple people, and they thought it was kind of dark. So I just put it in a drawer, and just, it's still in the drawer. I'm like,
wow.
Really, Sai?
Like, oh,
well, it's like, well, I mean, I'm happy to take a read if you'd like. And he's like, really? Like, you would want to read my book? I'm like, yes, of course, Sai, I want to read your book. You're making a handmade, one of a kind knife for my husband. Of course, I'd love to read your book. Mm-hmm. And so he sent it down, and yeah, it was two stories. That's why it's the Two Tales of Timothy Mouse. Mm-hmm. And it's phenomenal. It's hilarious. Really? And it's just fantastic. And it is a little dark at the beginning because a cat moves into a house full of mice, and then mm-hmm. the cat has some fun.
No.
But the mouse solves the situation, mm-hmm. Solves the problem. And anyway, and so it's fantastic. And I have worked with a variety of illustrators, like being a children's book publisher. Mm-hmm. I've worked with illustrators in the UK and Canada, here in the United States. And there's one who I thought would be perfect for it. Her name is Emma Whaley. And Emma was 10 at the time that I first showed her the manuscript. She is 10 years old. And she thought the story was hilarious. And so she wanted to do the pictures for it. And so, yep, illustrations are by Emma Whaley. And
a 10-year-old.
A 10-year-old. She is a 10-year-old artist. She's, wow. Yeah, she's phenomenal. Yeah. And I am so proud of this book. It's just, so like, speaking to what you had mentioned earlier, I love being a publisher because I choose the projects that I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. Like, every one of my books that we publish, it's just, I believe in the people. I believe in the work. I believe in the book and the story and the characters and all of it. So it's what I love about
it. You're not just chasing a demographic.
Exactly.
You're not just chasing a trend. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's like, ooh, vampires are hot right now. I'll do that. And it's, you know, it's what I would like to kind of do with something timeless. So, yeah.
You're already on your way with that. Like, that's that's wonderful. Is wonderful. So I'd like to hear, like, how this all started in the first place. Because one of the things that I love to hear about is what I call the lightning bolt moment. And that's that moment in time when you just kind of experience something or read something, hear someone, meet someone or something, and it just makes you just say, ooh, that's what I want to do. That's the kind of path I want to be on. That's the road I want to travel on. That's the person I want to be.
Yeah.
So you've gotten a lot of experience with this. You're not only a teacher, but you're also an author yourself and a publisher.
Yeah.
So what came first? What was the first step on that journey?
That's a great question. I think originally it was writing, because even when I was in school, I loved to write and had some phenomenal teachers who kind of encouraged me to write. And so I went to UCLA and studied English literature and classics because I'm a nerd. And so go Latin.
Wrong with that.
Yep. Thank you. And anyway, and so then originally I thought, okay, it's journalism. I want to write for like National Geographic. I want to do the environmental magazines because environmentalism has always been like big with me. I grew up in a little kind of rural town in Northern California, so I love trees. So when I went to the University of Oregon, I got my master's degree in magazine journalism. And my thesis was on the history of paper. So last time I looked at my thesis, dusted it off, I think it has a wonderful possibility of solving insomnia. So I think it's a kind of a dry read. But anyway, but the research for it really got in for me into the history of paper and our current use of paper. And so, and one of the things, of course, is in a lot of ways, newspapers have come a long way, but books and magazines, especially on both, are very inefficient when it comes to the use of paper. A lot of paper is wasted. And we talk about it can be recycled, but oftentimes it can be recycled. That doesn't mean it is recycled. Like just it's just like with plastic. It can be, it's just not. So I came out of my master's with kind of this idea of like, okay, well, yeah, I still want to be a freelance writer. I'll do this. And so I did some environmental volunteer work in the Galapagos Islands and then in Ireland. And of course came back and especially was in the Galapagos where I was working on kind of trying to save indigenous like species of plants there and from invasive species. And anyway, it was just this kind of moment where I was taking a break and sitting on this beach and these little kids came up to me and they wanted to practice their English. And so I knew Spanish. And so we're kind of going back and forth. And it was just wonderful. I was kind of sitting there and just sharing language with them. And so that's where education set in. So kind of long answer to short question. First, it was writing. I knew I wanted to write. And then teaching kind of got to me. And so I came back and I became a teacher. And that was a wonderful experience. And then when I was pregnant with my son, my oldest, it was kind of that, because I'd written other things before, but I wrote my first children's book when I was pregnant with him, because it was this idea of kind of like the what if, like what if anything was possible. And so that was my first book.
Yeah.
Which then, of course, as we know, when you write a book, it's great. Yay, there it's written. Okay, now it's the publishing side. Mm-hmm. And so that takes the long time. That takes the, you join the conferences and you try to network and you meet the agents and you do the this and the this and the this and all the stuff.
Sounds very familiar. Yeah.
Yes. And so, and it's just people kind of new authors, they work so hard and it's just to really try to get the word out there about what they've created. Like, look at this. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And especially with children's books, right? Especially like picture books, it's just, it's a very, very, very difficult world to get into.
Yeah.
So finally I signed with a hybrid publisher named Mascot Books. Mm-hmm. And I was so thrilled and I was so excited, like, yes, finally I get to be published. Woohoo! And so then I was like, hey, so recycled paper, what about it? More environmentally friendly. And they're like, ah, oh, that's adorable. No. And so they're like, we already have our contract in place. Thanks. Here's your paper. Here you go. Mm. So it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so, but I wrote that first book in English and Spanish. And that's where I first met Joe Gershman. She was my illustrator for the book. And I was lucky to get her. Mm-hmm. And collaborating with her was just a life-changing experience working with an expert. She had already illustrated almost 40 books before mine.
Wow.
And so and she had worked with tons of different publishers. Mm-hmm. And so just the level of her knowledge, her wisdom, her expertise was just phenomenal for me.
Yeah.
So my second book, I wanted to do something more environmentally friendly. And so I'd started looking at different papers, but I just really didn't know yet. Mm-hmm. And so, but I worked with Joe again, and that was an early chapter book. And so Joe was like, well, what about Amazon KDP? Because with that, you can do print on demand.
Right.
And print on demand, of course, you only print the number of books that are actually desired.
That you need. Yeah.
Right. And so much less waste. Mm-hmm. And so at the time, I was kind of like, all right. Yep. So my second book was a print on demand through Amazon. And so yet again, in many ways, great experience, but no paper choice. So my lightning moment was when I wrote my third book. And the third book, and it's called The Trees.
Yeah.
And so
it kind of fits.
Yeah. And so at that point I was like, okay, this is it. It's like, I'm going to write a book called The Trees. I'm not going to intentionally kill more trees in order for it to be put out.
Right.
So I researched various like printers and printer companies and it's one of those, like with anything in economics, when there is a demand for it, the supply will come. And so there were several printers who had recycled paper options. And so it was great to kind of reach out and be like, hey, guess what? All the only options I want to look at are 100% recycled paper or tree-free paper if you've got that. That's it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, that's great. But we have these other options too. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. Nope. And so at the same time, so it was kind of like my, I think the lightning moment was I knew for my third book, I wanted to do it the way that I wanted to do it. And simultaneously, I had met through like my other books, I had met a variety of authors who were, they had written phenomenal stories and they were really struggling to get them out there. And so I thought, what? Let's go. And so I started my company. And so Andy Domick was a phenomenal like author who he had written his first book with a very small publisher. And it was wonderful. It was about gardening with his kids. And it just this very sweet, phenomenal book. And and Marva Diaz, she had written these stories and it was like the main characters were her sons. And so, and yet again, it was kind of like she'd written these stories and thought they were great, but nobody's really paying any attention to them. And so they were my first two authors that I signed. And so, so started up.
How'd it feel just being able to connect with people that were looking for a means of getting their work out? And then all of a sudden here you are with it. You're able to provide that sort of opportunity for them right away. It sounds like it's once you got things going,
right?
Now it's just a matter of, okay, now I can't just publish my own work.
Of
if I'm going to be a publisher, I got to reach out and get some other people involved. And now all of a sudden you're getting other authors that are involved. And were there other illustrators that you were able to reach out to as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. In fact, one of the illustrators for Marva's second book called The Christmas Witch, she is a phenomenal artist named Lucy Rogers. Mm. And she lives in the UK and she had reached out to me through our website and she was just graduating from university. Like she was getting her degree finished in like art and illustration and children's book illustration. And so she's this brand new and she's trying to kind of make a name for herself. And so she reached out, I looked at her stuff and showed it to Marva and we were like, this would be amazing.
Yeah.
And so signed her. And now of course, and it's funny because since we signed her and she did the book and all that, now she's got the agent and she's taken off and she's done her own books and she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Lucy's been fantastic. So she was someone who reached out to me and it's just every book has had its own kind of story and its own experience and has taught me a great many things. And it's a wonderful feeling and it's a scary feeling and it's kind of, it's everything, right? When you have your company and it's wearing lots of different hats and kind of, and building your team of people because one person cannot do it all. That is impossible. Yeah. So you really have to kind of find the people that you believe in their work. They believe in you and just really kind of what you can create together. And so that's been huge.
Wonderful. It sounds a lot like what I've been dealing with the start of my podcast network.
Yep.
Because this has basically just been a means of trying to reach out to other people that have a passion for podcasting and wanting to see like if they have a show that really kind of matches what it is that we're looking for. Cause we're always looking for creative centric kinds of shows. That's what we're looking for. So we talk about how the shows are meant to be inspiring, motivating, celebrating, educating, and even rejuvenating for creatives. And that has gotten, that's gotten a good amount of attention.
Yeah.
From other podcasters that feel that they are a really good fit for this. And now as we're moving into kind of phase two of this, we're reaching out to even more people and we're starting to get a little bit more of a buzz. Mm-hmm. So it really feels like, hey, we can provide a means to get people out there to have, if they have an idea for a show and they pitch it to us and we believe that this fits with what we're looking for,
right,
then we can give them the green light to move forward. And all of a sudden they have their own show. How cool is that? Just like all the people that you're working with.
Yeah.
They're looking for opportunities. They have books now that they can hold in their hands.
Yes.
And capture that lifelong dream.
Yeah.
Because you gave them that opportunity.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's phenomenal because I think especially in this day and age, so many people have such unique experiences and unique goals And especially in that kind of the creative spirit idea, right? We want to create something and be able to look back on something and say, I did this. Like I made this is here because I was here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that's fantastic.
What was that experience like getting to print the first official book for Salus Publishing and getting to hold it in your hands? Was that for the first one? Was that for one of your works or was it for someone else's work?
The first book that arrived was Andy Domick's. And I will be fully honest and say that I cried because it's mm-hmm. just, it's that.
I can kind of hear you getting a little bit choked up right now, like a little bit. And I love that because I mean, that's the passion. That's right? What this is all about.
Well, and especially because it's just you're right. It is that visceral experience of that tangible, I've held this in my hand. Like this mm-hmm. is his book. I can now hand this to a child and they can read it and they can laugh because Andy's books are hilarious.
Yeah.
And it was just that kind of, that realization, like, oh my gosh, like this is real, right? Because mm-hmm. for so much, I think, especially in the startup business realm, it's always the planning. It's the what's going to happen. It's the steps in the process. Mm-hmm. And then when it's finally there, it's just, there's this kind of moment of disbelief almost, like really? Mm-hmm. And so it was phenomenal. And one of my absolute favorite things to do is to hand, because like authors get their free copies. And so I personally drop them off because it's like, here you go.
That's great. So you work with mainly like local authors to you? Is that?
Well, so I have, but then of course, Cy Swan, he is in Oregon and I'm in California.
Oregon, right.
So that's a little far. Mm-hmm. And then of course, almost all of my illustrators are very far out. So I have to mail them their copies, which, but
it's not like you're mailing yourself in a box or anything. Just saying so that way you can just personally hand it to them.
Exactly. Right. I mean, it would be a great excuse to go to the UK again, but mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, so I think it was holding Andy's books and being able to, here you go.
You saw this through.
Yeah.
You brought this person in and they didn't let you down.
Right.
And they did their part. You did your part. Yeah. And the illustrator did their part. The formatter did their part. And all of a sudden you have something that is worthy to be on bookshelves.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Well, then especially like for Cy Swan's book, like I mentioned before, he's 88 years old. Mm-hmm. And so when I first said, Cy, I want to publish your book, he was like, oh, fantastic. So when's it going to be available? And mm-hmm. so it was kind of like, you have to explain. It's like, okay, Cy, first we need to find the illustrator. Then they need time to do the illustrations. Then we got to mm-hmm. do the, there is a process.
We got steps to go.
Right? Yeah. And so especially with books, books aren't fast. It's, I think what so many new authors don't understand is that it's like, however long it takes you to write it, then there's so many steps after that before mm-hmm. you can really hold it. Yeah. And so for Cy, he was wonderful. He was very impatient. Like, okay, come on, let's go. Come on. And so
I can't blame him though. With everything that he's been doing. That's sure. That's a great journey that he's been on. And now all of a sudden it's almost like a culmination kind of feeling.
Yep. Absolutely. So I made sure that he got his copies right before Christmas.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, I had the printer like special ship his copies. Like, okay, they have to be here. Like mm-hmm. they have to do this.
Yeah.
Cause I had a variety of delays for a variety of reasons. And so mm-hmm. I was like, no, he's going to hold them in his hand by Christmas. Like this is going to happen. And
that's wonderful. Did he get some pictures taken holding the books and send them over to you or anything? He did?
Yeah. And Essential Craftsman, they did a phenomenal video on him and his book and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
It's so sweet. And of course, it was funny because Scott Wadsworth is, who he runs Essential Craftsman, like YouTube channel, he's a contractor. And mm-hmm. so when he had mentioned that he would like to do a video about Cy's book, I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. Like talk about the story, talk about the characters. Oh, this is so great. And so it turns out the interview was much more on Cy's writing process and the publishing process. And so in the video, like Cy mentions his nickname of me, which I'm like, oh, Cy, you're not supposed to say that stuff to public. So it was absolutely wonderful. I think to see an author who is very proud of the work that their publisher did, I think is great.
Now, one of the things that I am always really excited to hear about, because it's really just the thing that everyone is really looking forward to doing more than anything, once they have their books in their hands,
yes,
now they get to sign it for people.
Yes.
So what was the first signing like for Salus Publishing?
Oh, that's a great question. It was actually kind of wonderful in a lot of ways because I had started my business in, let's see, January of 2020. And so with my children's book authors, we had all these plans of like, oh, when we release the books, we're going to do all these school events and these in-person events. And isn't this going to be amazing? And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And so,
but you get to use that time to be like the caterpillar inside the cocoon and just get all the planning done.
Yes. You know, so. Which, and yet, it, absolutely right. 100%. Because even as a brand new publisher, I had underestimated the amount of time and the process and the needs. Yeah. And it's just because it's kind of, as an author who has published a book, you think you kind of know. Like, oh, I know the steps, I know. And then from the publisher side of it, oh, no, no. Like there's so much more involved. And especially working with the layout and the design, working with the printers and their schedule and all of these other things. So we started in 2020. The books were released, I would say, was it right before Christmas of that year? So And so even being able in that caterpillar kind of stage when we're all stuck at home and I'm firing off emails and I'm doing the internet research and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, even with that time to kind of be able to focus in that sense, it still took a year. And so our first signing event was actually at a brand new bookshop in Sacramento where Andy Domic lives. And so it was wonderful to support a small business because they were just starting up too. And it was wonderful to just kind of be outside and be kind of have people come. And of course, we respected all of the protocols and everything like that for the pandemic and masks and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was such a wonderful experience. I think after everything that we had been through and in that first year to just really be able to celebrate something that would give kids some joy and some laughs. And because Andy's book is, like I say, it's hilarious. And so it was such a relief. I think that first signing event when Andy was able to just kind of sign books for kids and he did a reading out loud and kids were kind of laughing along. That's and it great. Was just after all of that, it was kind of like, okay, all right. Yeah.
This can work.
This can work. Yeah. We can do this. Yeah, we can do this.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And now you have other genres that you're exploring.
Exactly.
And other opportunities that are out there for other people.
Yeah.
Are you looking to get into audio as well?
Yes. I think that would be phenomenal. I think, yeah. And of course, and yet again, that would be another hat because I know very little about it. Mm-hmm. And so like years ago with our first books, like I had my authors kind of read their books and we did like, okay, we'll do it like on YouTube and then they can read the books and yay, like that's a thing, right? Right. But of course, there's no promotion, there's no marketing, right? There's no network. And so got very few views. And I'm like, oh, but these are great. And it just, yet again, that's when you really need kind of like you were speaking to, that network of people. And that it's like, hey, see what we're doing. Let's see what you're doing. And let's all that. So yes. So with audio, absolutely. I think that would be a fantastic goal for the year ahead.
Very good. And speaking of network, that's something that I also have as well as an audiobook narrator myself. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I just finished, what was it? Number 17, I think, of audiobooks that I've done so far. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I am getting ready to, now that my voice is finally came back this past week, as soon as I wrapped up the other one, then all of a sudden my voice just decided to just crap out on me.
Oh yeah.
Thankfully I had this week to recover so I can actually do my interviews for this month as well. So that's always helpful. And so now I can dive into the next one that's on my schedule. And then I have a couple more that one of my clients has reached out to me already to do. So I am just, it's an exciting time. And so this is a great time to get into audio.
Yeah. So. Well, and that's phenomenal. And I will say this, I love hearing authors read their own work. And like Seamus Heaney is one of my favorite poets. And so I just kind of, I have read his poetry and then you hear him read it. And
yeah, the poet definitely has to, not to interrupt, but yeah, the poet definitely has to be the one to read it. And that's something that I was approached when I did a presentation over here in St. Louis about the process of audiobooks, whether it's working with other narrators or doing it yourself, however you want to do it. And someone reached out to me and he said that he has some poetry that he was looking to do. And he asked me, like, would you be interested in doing that? And I told him just flat out, it's like, honestly, I feel it's best if you do it.
Yeah.
Because poetry is so personal.
Yeah.
That, and there's so much in you that you are spilling out onto that page.
Right.
That it needs to have your voice. What was that voice inside you when you were letting it out?
Yeah.
It's one thing to tell a story.
Right.
It's one thing to tell a story.
Right.
But this is, you're telling your soul when you're performing poetry.
Yeah, no, it's
so
true.
That's something that I strongly recommend that I would love to hear Noelle get up and perform her work.
Yeah.
And I hope that she has that in mind when her book is launched, because I'm sure there's a launch that's scheduled for there, cuz like you said, she has her own store as well. Yeah. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting.
But yeah, this is an amazing time, and you're at this wonderful period right now where the doors are open, opportunities are available, and all that's needed is for the right people to know what you have to offer. Yeah. So I am so glad that you're here for that.
Well,
so
thank you. Me too.
And what would you suggest to someone who is looking for that opportunity, that someone who has a book themselves, has a story in them, and wants to get it out, but at the same time, they're not sure about what steps to take, whether they should go the indie self-publishing route or whether they should reach out to a publisher such as yourself?
Right.
What do you recommend that they do?
I think that's a really good question. I think there are multiple things that people can do, especially and this is kind of a hedge answer. It all depends on the genre, honestly, I think initially, right? Because one thing that publishers have done in the past, which as a new publisher, I still struggle with, is publishers tend to pick a genre and stick to it, right? Like if you're into sci-fi or fantasy, if you're mystery, horror, romance, whatever. So a lot of publishers have, and I see the efficiency of it. If you've got one genre, then you can kind of streamline your advertising and your marketing and all that stuff to your target audience. So that being said, from the author side of it, I think depending on what their genre is, who they kind of think that their true audience is, first thing would be, to network, kind of like we have talked about. And really, sometimes that can be through conferences. Like an organization that I have attended multiple conferences for, and my book was a finalist in their contest, is the Pacific Northwest Writers Association.
Oh.
And that is for basically like the Western, states. Mm-hmm. And it's held in Seattle every year. And I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people and agents and publishers go. And it is a phenomenal way for, I think, a lot of budding authors and even authors who are trying to write in a different genre where they've been told by their previous publisher, yeah, we don't do that. I think it's a wonderful way of kind of gaining knowledge, of networking, of really being in a writer's community. And I think that can kind of help a lot. Because, of course, what a lot of writers in the beginning, don't realize is you need to nail your pitch. Like, if you only have 20 to 30 seconds, maybe, with an agent or with a publisher, and they say, oh, what's your book about? And
you can't just sit there and go like, oh, wait, okay. So all of a sudden you're like Marlin and Finding Nemo, just like a mollusk.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was like the first time I attended that conference. That was huge for me. And it was embarrassing for me because it's like that first agent meeting and it's like, okay, so tell me about your book. What's it about? I'm like, mm-hmm. so there's this, right. And you mm-hmm. kind of fumble through it. And I could see the look on her face 10 seconds in, she's out. She is mm-hmm. already on to her notes. She even checked her phone because it was just, Sheesh. Oh yeah. Because it was just, I didn't have it nailed down. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of writers, it's just, yet again, it's the network. It's having the courage to show your work to other people. Family and friends are wonderful, and your spouse or your partner is phenomenal. Sometimes they're not going to really be a great judge or really, you know, kind of be able to give you the feedback that you might need to make your book the best that it can be. Mm-hmm. So I think kind of having the courage to maybe show it to, there's so many freelance editors out there or stuff like that to really help kind of tighten up the writing, make it as strong as it can be. And then, yep, make sure you've got your pitch down. And yes. So, and then I think kind of with that in mind, then yes, every author that I've ever known has had a different story, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, and the last time I attended this conference for Pacific Northwest Writers Association, I almost messed up the letters there. The author there, it took her 10 years to get from the first time she kind of finished her first base, what she didn't realize was a draft of her book, mm-hmm. to when she could hold that book in her hands. And she was very candid and very open about that process. And she was determined to go the traditional route, get the agent, get the publisher, do the stuff and all that. And it was 10 years. Now, after 10 years, she has a book and she loves it. And it was very successful and all that stuff. That's great. But 10 years. And so mm-hmm. I think, especially in speaking to what you're saying, as far as kind of the day and age that we live in, the time that we live in, there yeah. are so many more routes. So I always encourage writers to reach out to me. And yet again, I'm more than happy to read work. And if I think it's phenomenal and I am ready to fight for it, like till the end of my days, like I do for my others, then yep. here we go. Or if it's just not going to be a good fit for me, because especially there was a great fantasy kind of sci-fi writer who had written a series of short stories, and he shared them with me. And I love the genre. It is just the world building, and there is so much there that is just beyond my expertise.
Yeah.
And as a publisher and as an author and everything, I have to be kind of humble enough to be like, this is beyond my scope.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it was extraordinary how much he had built and created. And I was like, oh, yep, okay. And mm-hmm. But having gone through those conferences and met various other publishers, I was able to kind of recommend him, hey, reach out to so-and-so at this publishing house. I think mm-hmm. you could be a great fit for them. Or, like, here are some other alternatives. And so, yeah, I think, and so many times for authors, there is no one-stop shop. There is no yeah. right way to do it. There is just, you got to kind of find what way works for you so that in the end, when you hold your book in your hand, you're proud of it.
Yeah. And that's that moment that just leads, that everything led up to.
Yep.
And there it is. You have that moment. You're yep. providing these opportunities and what you can provide and what genre works best for you and your expertise.
Exactly.
And so that's wonderful. Now, where can my listeners find you?
So we are at salaspublishing.com. That's our website. We're on Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, so that's kind of like the easiest way. We have a YouTube channel, so you can kind of check out some of our authors' interviews and then reading their books. Yeah, for more on Sai, you can check out the Essential Craftsman YouTube channel and just mm-hmm. Sai Swan. And so, yeah, he's hilarious. And yeah, so you can reach out that way.
That's terrific. And I hope that all of you, that the opportunities that you're looking for when it comes to getting your work out there, whether you're an author, whether you're an illustrator, whether you're a book formatter, whether you're an editor, whether you are an audiobook narrator, those opportunities are out there. And there are people like Georgia that are willing to work with you, that are willing to provide these sort of opportunities. There are so much more that are out there now than you may think. And it's up to us to really take advantage of it. And it's up to us to have the confidence in ourselves to say that my work is ready, my work can get out there, my work is worthy of an audience, and Georgia is willing to provide, granted, if the book is the right fit, she's ready to provide her knowledge, her skills, and to do her part to get your work out there. And if you are working with the right person, if you have the right kind of story that is out there that works for the publisher, that works for you, that works for the illustrator, that works for everyone involved, then it's only a matter of time before you are holding your book, your finished book, in your hands. And I can't wait to see that happen for you. So for Georgia Leninger and Salus Publishing, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.